When I get there, such sights I'll behold. A million scenes of rare beauty will demand that I view them. Oh, but Jesus will outshine them all. Oh, mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunions on streets of gold. Happy faces are glowing, a land of splendor where night never falls. The golden glass gives reflection to that city's perfection. Oh, but Jesus will outshine them all.
Sing it with him,
but
church.
Jesus,
hallelujah.
Will outshine them all. Oh, yes, mansions will glisten on the hills.
Would you stand and sing it? Hallelujah.
Happy,
happy reunion. Well, I tell you, I love music like that. I'm trying to stop it here. I want you to hear the rest of it. Hey, mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Are you looking forward to being home? Are you looking forward to being on the other side? Are you excited about what a blessing it's going to be when you arrive in the city of God, paradise, heavenly Jerusalem, the city of golden streets. Hallelujah. My friend, welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. You know, I love every Saturday coming to you. It's a joy. Been camp meeting all week. My throat's a little raspy sounding. I've been a busy week, but it's been exciting. And if you didn't get to come to camp meeting, you just got to order the DVDs or the CDs because they'll change your life. They will change your life. The greatest altar calls I ever remember. I've never seen so many praying. Last night, it was maybe 10 o'clock, and I was just looking. Everybody's still there. I had everybody to stand and just pray again where they were standing. And it was marvelous to think that for nearly 2 hours now, they've been praying and seeking God and loving God when the sermon was over, hour and a half at least. What a joy. I don't know about you, But I love the Word of God, and I love camp meeting, and I love an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we're looking for a big day tomorrow. J.J. White preaching for us, a young man, great ability, a prayer warrior. I am convinced J.J. is a prayer warrior, and I hope you'll come tomorrow. Morning worship at 11, 10:50 really, and morning evening worship at 6. We want you to be here. Now, we're going to deal today with the Battle of Armageddon. Listen now, the Battle of Armageddon. I want you to listen to something. Listen to me now. The Battle of Armageddon is the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Battle of Armageddon is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't remember ever saying that. It kind of took a hold of me today that the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus is absolutely the same event. It is the moment that he will return to this earth the second time. Now, he comes in the clouds to get the rapture, but he doesn't come to the earth. We meet him in the clouds. The trumpet sounds. He lifts up the dead in the grave, and the living are transformed, and we together meet him in the air and go back with him to heaven. That's called the rapture. That's called the rapture. You understand that. But the second coming is identical and identified with the Battle of Armageddon. Because when he comes back that second time, friend, he comes back to clean up the mess. He comes back to capture the powers of wickedness. He comes back to judge the wicked and to cast the Antichrist and the false prophet into the lake of fire. They will literally be captured and cast into the lake of fire. They will not be killed. They will not die. They will be cast alive into the lake of fire, into hell itself. Now, you got to hear me, friend. You got to hear me. These events are on the calendar. I want to say something now. I want you to hear this. I want you to stop and listen wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Stop and listen. You got to hear me. When the rapture takes place, it will be exactly 7 years until Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom on the earth. God doesn't operate in what, you know, it might be this time, it might be this long, it might be this, it might be that. When he says something in the Bible, that settles it. And the 70th week of Daniel is literally 7 years, a week of 7 years. And at the end of those 7 years is the great battle of Armageddon. And that's when Jesus comes back to this earth. He comes to set up his kingdom in the city of New Jerusalem. No, the city of Jerusalem, the city where our president has just moved our embassy and established it from American political viewpoint as the capital of the Jewish nation. And it will be the capital of the millennial kingdom. And Jesus will come back to that city, and he will set up the kingdom there, and he will rule the world from Jerusalem. Now do you understand why the Muslims hate Jerusalem, are determined to take Jerusalem, or to rule Jerusalem, or to be the master of Jerusalem, to make Jerusalem the capital of the Muslim kingdom and the Muslim religion? You understand why? Because it is destined, not if or maybe, or think so, or reckon so. It is destined. It is absolute that Jerusalem will be the capital of the one world government under Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the saints of God, the raptured saints that go up in that rapture, we come back with him on white horses. White horses. Can you imagine how many herds of horses are right now in heaven getting ready for the Battle of Armageddon? That place must have a million farms with 1,000 horses on every farm and another 1,000 to be born on a regular basis, because heaven is getting ready for that great Battle of Armageddon when Jesus mounts a white stallion and we all mount white horses and we come back with Jesus to set up his kingdom on this earth. I'm telling you, when that great battle of Armageddon occurs, the devil will have had his last hurrah. The devil will be finished. And I can just imagine all that valley of Jehoshaphat, that valley we call Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to occur. And they say it's over 200 miles long. I didn't know that till this week. Over 200 miles long. You see, Joey Yates, one of my best friends and a great Bible scholar, has spoken on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday on the rapture, the seven-year tribulation, the great battle of Armageddon, and then yesterday on the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I mean, it has been breathtaking. I mean, you talk about some of the best materials you've ever read, and it's all on DVDs. You can order the four DVDs, and they're available. You can order the whole camp meeting. It's available. My friend, you're talking about material like most of this world has never studied. I don't know one preacher that could come close to doing what Joey Yates did on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He and I have studied the Bible together now for so many years, and we understand it in a way that is really breathtaking, and we're trying to get it to you. And so today, we're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon. We probably won't finish today, but as soon as we do, we're going to go to the great millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of the saints of God. And don't you forget now, in 7 years, it could start. Jesus could return to the earth the second time in exactly 7 years. Now, first, it's got to be the rapture. It must be a rapture, seven-year tribulation period, and then Jesus comes back to the earth, and the great battle of Armageddon occurs. Now, let me read you something. In the book of Matthew, I'm going to start. There's a lot of scripture. I won't read too many to bore you, but I want you to get the word, and we're going to open up these lines, and I want a question and answer session that is really breathtaking. I want us to get to the heart of questions that you have. I've got to convince you that we're just so near this end time that it's really overwhelming. And I want you to get it deep in your noggin that we're about to see the great rapture of the saints, and then the seven-year tribulation period, and then the great battle of Armageddon, and then the kingdom out of Jerusalem. Set up a one-world government, not ruled by preachers or churches or politicians or governments of the world, but ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Woo, hallelujah. I just want to shout. Let me read to you. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see him. And they shall see him. Oh, I tell you, Russia's going to see him. I'm telling you that the African nations are going to see him. Those eastern nations of England and all those different nations of the United Kingdom. And then, of course, the Middle East is going to see him. Asia is going to see him. South America is going to see him. North America is going to see him. All those liberal politicians across America who hate the gospel of Jesus Christ and hate the commandments of purity and righteousness, they're going to see him. Brother, I'm telling you, when they see him, it will be breathtakingly wonderful. Let me read it again. And then shall appear the sign, the sign of the Son of Man. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the nations of the earth mourn. Mourn. You talk about mourning. That day's coming. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in his glory. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in heaven with power and great glory. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From one end of heaven to the other. The Jewish people reunited with the nation of Israel. They are there now. And the Antichrist will run them out in the middle of the tribulation period. But they will return. And this time it won't be partial. It will be total. Every Jew in any nation of the earth will be brought to Israel by the angels gathering them together and bringing them there. Because you see, in Jerusalem, all Israel is going to be saved. All Israel is going to finally accept the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. All Israel, the whole nation of Israel will accept Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. My friend, I'm telling you, we're talking about a day of mighty glory and wonder and blessedness. Now, the Battle of Armageddon is part of this. We're going to get to that, so don't lose me. Stay right with me. Stay right with me, because I'm telling you, that day is at hand. Let me take you to the book of Revelation and just read you a little bit about this moment as it shall appear. John saw it. John saw a vision of it, a dramatic scene, I guess acted out by angels, that is what it would appear. And I saw, notice he said, I saw. He's not just talking about it. He's not just telling you about it. He's telling you what he saw. I like that. He's telling you what he saw. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. So the Son of God is coming out of heaven. All the saints behind him. We'll read that in a moment. And he's coming with great fanfare, with great majesty. It'll be a sovereign event beyond all human understanding. I wish you could know how great God is. I wish you could understand the resurrection is not a dream. It's not some event that was told without a proof and without definition. I'm telling you, Jesus arose from the dead. He ascended back to heaven, and he's coming back again. He's coming back again. Remember what the angel said in Acts 1, as you have seen him go away, so shall he appear. As you have seen him go away, so shall he appear. Oh, what a day. What a day. I know. I sound like I'm preaching. Well, I guess I am. I heard a great voice. Wait a minute. Long verse there. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And his head was, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Hey, I can't wait now. In a little bit, I'm going to tell you about that vesture dipped in blood. And I'm going to tell you about his name called the Word of God. I'm going to tell you about a sword that proceeds out of his mouth. That's a symbolic act that John saw, because it really means the Word of God spoken. I mean, when he speaks judgment on that Antichrist kingdom, it will be instantaneous. It will be absolute. The armies of the Lord will bring no great airplanes with them. They'll bring no tanks with them. They'll bring no They'll bring no war materials with them. They will come in nothing but glory, and the power of the spoken word of Jesus Christ will be the source of the total victory. The power of the spoken word of Jesus Christ. I wish all of you understood the Bible is an infallible book. The Bible is perfect from beginning to end, and it will be fulfilled exactly like the Bible says it will be fulfilled. I got to read all of that again. And a voice came out. I'm again wrong verse. Sorry about that. His eyes were as the flame of fire, and his head wore many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Hallelujah. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses. That's what the Bible says. I hope you take the Bible literal. Upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The Bible identifies this white, fine linen clothes as the garment of the saints, the garment of the raptured ready, the garment of that great throne of people all the way back from the beginning of creation right down to the hour in which this occurs. The armies of the Lord are the redeemed of the Lord, the saints of God. If you're part of God's redeemed saints, you're going to be part of that great army. And you won't need to have a sword. You won't need to have any kind of armament. You won't need to have an airplane to ride. All the victory will be rode by those victorious in the Lord. Oh, what a day that's going to be, church. What a day. And let me read a little more. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it, the sharp sword, he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Battle of Armageddon. The second coming of Jesus Christ, united together. It is him coming to defeat the Antichrist, the armies of the devil, the armies of the false prophet, and all the religious horde. I mean, you're talking about religion big time will be there, but it's apostate religion. It's religion that's left the way of the Bible. It's religion that's turned from the truth of the Word of God. If you in these modern churches where they do rock music, they've thrown the pews out, they've took the cross down from the wall, they just there to have a religious event of what do you call it? But absolutely blasphemy, and they're there, and that crowd's going to be part of this crowd that's going to be fighting with the Antichrist, thinking they're about to win. Now, by this time, some of them will already be judged. All kinds of things are going to happen during those 7 years, but it's breathtaking. Now, before I really bear for you the event of this Battle of Armageddon, you got to understand that Satan is now, there is Satan, there's the Antichrist, the false prophet, and they're in the Valley of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, and they're there because they've just lost two major battles. Two major events have already occurred, and I want to make sure you get those. If you'll turn with me back to Revelation 17, I'll show you the first thing that's got to happen at the nearing end of the 7 years. As the 7 year tribulation is coming to a close, and they're getting ready for the Battle of Armageddon, something's got to happen, and this happens in the city of the Vatican, Rome. This happens in the city of Rome. Let me read it to you. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven horns, seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Now, I'm telling you, this religious crowd led by the false prophet that ascends out of the bottomless pit. That's in Revelation 13 and 11. Revelation 13 and 11. The beast now is a religious person leading a great religious army and a great religious crowd known as the false prophet, not the Antichrist, but the false prophet. And this false prophet is leading a religious horde, and their seat is Rome, the seven hills of Rome. You better understand me now. The Catholic Church is an apostate religion. If you're part of the Catholic Church, you're an apostate religion. There's no ifs, no ands. It's absolutely the truth. It was said so by Martin Luther. It was said so by every great religious personality until this last generation of apostasy. This last generation, they're going back to Rome because they are apostate. They've left the Word of God. They left the truth of the Scripture. And so they're going back to Rome. And you see, without a question, that they will be judged. I mean, they will be judged. Because this is false religion. It's a false system. And Rome is going to be burned. Rome. I'm trying to find the Scripture where Rome is burned. You got to hear that. Let me read it to you. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate her. I mean, the governments under this religious crowd are going to hate the religious crowd. Once they win the victory and they win the hearts of the world, they will hate the religious crowd that helped them do it. You got to hear this. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thou shalt hate. They shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh with and burn her with fire. And burn her with fire. See, Rome is going to be burned. That's been prophesied many times. You can go back 1,000 years ago and find prophets within the Roman system that would tell of what was going to happen and how the end of Rome would be and how they would in the end be judged, and the Pope would become part of the Antichrist crowd. Well, you know this Pope is part of the Antichrist crowd. He's going to bed, not only literally now, but in theological terms. He's agreed with the homosexuals and the same-sex crowd. He's just an apostate. You can't call him nothing but an apostate. He's even declared that there's no such thing as hell. He's taking his stand against the fundamental truths of the Bible. Well, he's always been part of that. And so he's just showing his colors. And so we see that by the time we get to the Battle of Armageddon, that the city of Rome, the religious capital of the New World Order, has been destroyed. Now, you got to hear that. I want to say it again. The religious capital of the Antichrist kingdom and the New World Order will be the city of Rome, the Vatican. And it will be burned with fire and destroyed as it comes down to the end of the 7 years. Now, this is going to make the Antichrist ferocious. I mean, he is going to be as angry as 12 devils. He is going to really be a ferocious man because he just lost his religious capital. Now you go to chapter 18 of the book of Revelation, and he loses his political capital. He has a capital in Rome, that's his religious capital. Then he has a capital in Babylon, which is his political capital. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her. Come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plague. See, as it comes down to the end of the 7 years, there's still religious people all involved, and the Lord is calling them out because they have been deceived. They've been buffaloed in their brain. They've been totally wrapped up in this big one-world religious and political system. Now the Lord is begging them to come out. And some of them do, because you're going to see them in chapter 20 as they're redeemed. Even right here at the end of the 7 years, people are being redeemed and they're being forgiven. And the Lord is receiving them back. Now, imagine the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil and that whole crowd. They've lost Rome, and now they lose their political center, which is Babylon. They're going to rebuild it and make it the capital of the political system of the Antichrist. They can do that in a very short period. It's already been restored to some degree, but very limited because the hour is not yet. We've got a little time. Not much of time. We don't know how long. All of that could happen after the rapture, but the rapture is already on schedule. It can happen today. It can happen in the next 5 minutes. We don't know. But once it happens, the Antichrist will then put together his one world order. And if he hasn't got Babylon ready, it will be made ready in probably a month, probably 6 months at the most, maybe a year. And it will be the capital of the Antichrist kingdom. But he loses Rome, and then he loses his capital. And now he has nothing left but Jerusalem. And so he gathers the armies of the world together. They go up into the valley of Megiddo. They got to get their armies all united. They're there by the millions. They've got armament enough to destroy the world. I mean, they are really equipped. And they're getting ready to march on Jerusalem. And that's when the fear of the Lord, woo, comes up in his face. That's when God gets so fed up with that religious crowd and that political garbage crowd. And he gets so fed up with this one world order. He sees the damage they've done all over the world. And now it's time for him to leave heaven and come back and clean up the mess. Woo, it's army time. It's victory time. It's hallelujah time. It's a time for the glory of the kingdom to be manifest. And you got to let me walk back through it. You got to understand, when that seven world kingdom of the Antichrist begins, Rome will become absolutely the center of the religious crowd. And then Babylon will become the absolute political capital of the political crowd. And all of this world order will be so wicked and so godless and so devil infested, it will be overwhelming. And finally, in judgment, God puts an end to those two entities. He puts an end to Rome. I mean, the religious crowd become a great problem to the political crowd. And so you see how the political crowd destroys Rome, the religious center, because they're tired of religion now. You know, that's always been true with political orders and political kingdoms. They love religion when they can ride on the back of it, or when the religion can ride on their back. They love to be united with religion when they're in the process of taking the heart of the crowd. But once they get the heart of the crowd, once the Antichrist has been revealed, he's got the mark of the beast all over the world now. Everybody that resists has been killed. I mean, they're just down to the wire. Brother, down to the wire. Rome gets destroyed. Babylon gets destroyed. The Antichrist and his crowd gather in Megiddo, and they're ready to take Jerusalem. They got to take Jerusalem. They are fierce beyond measure. The Jews is still a thorn in their side, and they hate those Jews, and they hate the religious, pretty well eliminated the religious evangelical or fundamental crowd. I mean, they've been killed by every means possible, and the religious crowd is pretty well gone. There's still some segments of people hanging on to faith and resisting and somehow surviving. I don't know how, but somehow, because they do. The Bible makes that plain. But now the devil knows he's got to once and forever eliminate Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a thorn in his flesh. The Jews are a problem to him. They're still unconverted now. Some of them have been saved, but the majority of them have not been saved. I'm talking about at this time, not right now, but at this time, at the close of the seven-year tribulation period, the Jews are still unconverted. I mean, they really are. I'm telling you, friend, we are so near all of this. It's overwhelming to me, and I want to get it in your head. The next event is that rapture, the coming of Christ. Oh, the church is so apostate. The religious crowd out there, they'd rather sing rock music and worship the devil. They don't know they're worshiping the devil, but boy, are they worshiping him. And most of the church doesn't believe in the rapture anymore. They aren't preaching about the rapture and the coming of Christ for the saints of God. They're into post-millennialism and dominion theology and reform religion. And they got all kinds of names for it out there. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible is still right. Isn't it wonderful to sit here and tell you the Bible is still right? Now, I got about 30 minutes behind me, and you can tell I got plenty to say, and we hadn't even got really to that actual event called the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to get to it now. But I want the phone to ring. I want you to ask any question about all of this that you want to ask, and I will do my best to answer you. I'm not an all-know-it. I don't know everything. I'm learning every day. I'm fixing to tell you something the Holy Spirit just showed me a few months ago. You got to hear this. It's about the blood. Jesus dips his garment up in heaven now, dips his vesture, the Bible calls it, in blood. And in he's got on a vesture dipped in blood when he gets on that white horse to come down for his second coming. Because he isn't coming for the picnic, friend. He's already died on the cross, and he don't need to die again. He's already been resurrected, and now he's eternal life incarnate. I said he is eternal life incarnate. He is the first fruits of the great resurrection himself. When he came out of that tomb in Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago, he came out glorified. I mean, he could show up without the doors being open. He was the glorified Son of God. Hallelujah. And he's about to come back to this earth. He's about now in this beautiful story to come back to the earth. Now here's a moment for you to ask the question. I'm going to give you the phones right on your in front of you. Okay. Now you grab a phone and call me 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 0588. Write it down, because I'm going to eliminate it. I don't want it to mar the screen. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Now, my friend, I want to answer your question. Grab your phone. The lines are open. Secretaries are standing by. They're ready to give me the note when you are on a line, and I will do my best to help you. And I want to tell you something. It is close at hand. The coming of the Lord is at the door, and I'm leaving. I won't be on this broadcast the next Saturday after he comes. And there will probably be nobody here. And maybe if some people are left who have access to all the equipment, they'll play the programs of the previous weeks and tell you what has happened by showing you me predicting it and telling you it's going to happen. It's not if, it's not maybe, it's absolute, it's going to happen. Now, I want to give you a booklet on the Battle of Armageddon. I want to give you this on the battle. This is very good. It'll take you right through it. You'll see the 20th chapter of Revelation in this book, in this article. The 20th chapter of Revelation, verse by verse, and I will explain it to you and help you with it. And you need a copy of that, so grab your phone. You'll get it free. We'll mail it right to you. We'll send you a catalog if you want it. We'll send you a prayer, a list of all the DVDs and CDs of the camp meeting. And we will minister to you with everything inside of us. We are winning friends all over this globe. We have them in many countries. In fact, I don't know any country that we don't have them, because the Facebook and the internet are both all over the world. We are literally preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth right now. I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. I'm telling you, Rome is going to be the capital of the false prophet and the religion of the Antichrist. It's going to be the center of religious activity during the 7-year tribulation period, but Rome is going to be burned to the ground. Rome is going to be burned to the ground. The Bible says it plain and clear. And then Babylon is going to be the center of all political activity. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be completely and utterly destroyed. And then the Antichrist is up ready to take Jerusalem. And that's when God's fear comes up in his face. My brothers and sisters, are you listening? Let's talk about some things that's going to happen when that great battle of Armageddon begins. Remember, Jesus is up in heaven. He has come down in the clouds and got the saints. The saints. He's been in heaven, and they've been up there on the sea of glass, the Bible calls it, having a marriage celebration. I mean, they're having the wedding feast of wedding feast. This is the great marriage supper of the saints of the living God with Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. And so the bride and the bridegroom are celebrating. They will celebrate 7 years from the time of the rapture to the time of his second coming to the earth. It'll be a 7-year marriage celebration. Well, the wedding is over. The supper has ended. And now Jesus is ready to mount that white horse. And he's going to come back to the earth. And you know the first thing he does? He goes to the temple. And you remember when Jesus died and ascended to heaven the day of his resurrection, he put his own blood on the heavenly altar. And for 2,000 years, nearly, 1900 and something, Jesus' blood has been on the altar in the temple in heaven. It's literally there. It is living blood. It is divine blood. There's no death in that blood. There's no end to its power. And that blood is on the altar in heaven. And Jesus takes his vesture. I presume he takes it off. And he goes and dips it in that blood. When that vesture is covered in his blood, soaked in his blood, he puts it back on his body. And then he gets on that white horse. And then he leaves heaven on that white horse with a multitude so great that for me to even suggest how many multiplied millions it is would be a failure on my part. And he leaves heaven on that white horse with all the saints behind him, a multitude. I mean, the heavens will be filled with them. Now, I'll tell you something. You see, the heavens that Jesus comes down in is the second heavens that has been for thousands of years now the reign of the devil. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Well, between the time of the rapture and the end of the 7 years, the second heavens vanishes away. It completely dissipates. It disappears. And so the third heavens will be come down right over the first heavens, and the second heavens will have disappeared, or at least be cleared and cleaned up of the Antichrist. And we, the saints, the bride, will be having our marriage supper in that middle sphere, that what is now the second heavens, ruled by the devil as the prince of the power of the air. We will come down from there in all the glory. Can you imagine the heavens filled with Christ and multiplied millions of saints of God, everybody on a white horse? Woo! Hallelujah. Somewhere in that crowd, I'm going to be on a white horse. It don't matter wherever the Lord puts me. I'll just accept whatever he has ordained. And that's going to be the greatest battle. See, this is the mother of battles. This is the mother of battles. I want you so much to have this booklet. I really do. I'm watching to see if you're calling, because I want you to get it. Get on your phones right now. 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-33-TRUTH. 33 Truth, T-R-U-T-H, 1-800-33-TRUTH. I want you to call. I want you to get this free, and I want to talk with some of you who have questions, or you just want to shout a little bit. I'd be glad to shout with you. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about this great day that's on the horizon. It is so near. When you talk about 7 years from the trumpet to the second coming and the battle of Armageddon, you're talking about just a little breath of time. Just a little breath of time. And if you could know all the wickedness that's going to happen on this earth during those 7 years, it would scare the hell out of you, if I may say that plainly, and I mean the real hell. I'm not talking about a byword. It would scare the hell out of you. It is just that dark and that hellish and that terrible. And Satan will be the god of this world for 7 years, and he'll have no restraint. The Bible says the restrainer will be gone. That's the Holy Spirit and the saints of God. And Satan will have complete freedom, and he will make havoc. He will make havoc. Can you imagine what he will do to young ladies who still claim the name of Jesus? And he will, I mean, the butchering that will go on, the robbery, the masquerading of wickedness. Every bit of this is going to be dark. You don't want to be here. I'm telling you, you don't want to be here. I pray to God you won't be here. I'm crying out to God for the harvest of souls. I'm telling you, folks, it's almost over. If you knew how close we are to the end, you would run to the house of God. These doors will open them to all of you. By the multitudes come, and we'll help you pray through, because you don't have long. You may not have another 5 minutes. You may not have time to even repent of your sins. I'm telling you, when that trumpet sounds, it's over. When that trumpet sounds, there's no more revival for you. There's no more repentance for you. When that trumpet sounds, you're either in or you're out. You're either up or you're down. You're either going or you're not going. And I'm calling you to repent. And I'm calling you to give your life to Christ. And I'm telling you. Now, I'm getting off because I'm so excited about getting you saved. I want to get you right with God. I'm tired of such a multitude around me going to hell and don't even care. Don't act like they care. I mean, you try to preach the gospel to sinners today, and they almost laugh at you. They don't want the Christ. They enjoy a life of sex and drugs and alcohol and fantasies and going here and going there and running from one pleasure to another pleasure. The Bible says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I want to get you so excited that all you want to do is win the lost, win your family, win your loved ones, win your working friends, and serve Jesus, living in the Bible, loving the pleasures of the Lord, singing the songs of Zion, rejoicing in all that Jesus means. I'm here to tell you, it is going to be a beautiful time. It is going to be a beautiful time. Can I do something? Let me just do something different here. Let me cut on a little music for you. Listen.
Praise forever. Hallelujah. Jesus,
hallelujah,
will outshine. Listen, them all.
He outshines, hallelujah, them all right now. He does.
Sparkling river, listen, is flowing. Happy places.
Why don't you turn to God while Yvette sings?
A land of splendor.
That's where we're going.
Where night never falls.
Night never falls. Hallelujah.
The golden glass gives reflection to that city.
Perfection.
Perfection.
Oh, I know. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel Him. Why don't you get saved right now? Why don't you get saved right now? Would you turn your heart to Christ? He loves you. He's reaching for you. We'll come back to that. I'm here to tell you, I'm having a revival. That's what I'm trying to do with you on the internet, all over the world, Africa. It don't matter where you're at. You can repent of your sins and you can turn to Christ and you can get ready to go in that rapture, because it's going to be hell to be here during that tribulation period. Please forgive me. No, don't forgive me. Help me. Pray with me. Come to Christ. Now, the phone's still open. 704-391-0588. I'm so excited, I'm forgetting. 391-704-391-0588. Call if you want to be saved. I mean, we're ready to help you right here. The secretary in there will pray with you and help you get saved. I wish you'd make those phone rings. I want to answer some questions for you. I got so much to say. Man, I can talk for a long time. You know that. I've been on 40-some years. Hallelujah. His vesture dipped in blood. And listen now. Listen, I want you to hear this. He is riding on a white stallion that's pawing at the ground. I guarantee you that stallion is ready to come right now. I guarantee you that. Let me take a call here. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Good afternoon, Pastor Chambers. How are you today?
I am shouting.
Amen, amen. Hey, I just got a quick testimony to go along with what you're talking about. That's all. I'll try to keep it brief.
Okay, do.
You talked about how bad it's going to be during the tribulation and even beyond, even when hell comes. But I was raised in a home where my father was a Mason. And I don't know if you know anything about the Masons, but they're definitely a satanic organization.
I know that.
Yeah, and he was even a lodge master for 1 year, so I didn't realize why certain things had happened in my life growing up, but I do now, because the devil was definitely living in our house. I don't think my father even realized it. Anyway,
I'm sure he didn't. A lot of good people are part of the Masons and don't understand. They've been utterly deceived.
Exactly. Well, he died back in 2013, and my wife and I had to go up and take care of the estate and everything, because my mom had passed away back in 2005. And every single time we went back to that house to work to take care of things, the devil attacked us like you would not believe. I mean, her and I were at each other's throats fighting, and it was terrible. And one time it was so bad that when we came back, a lot of times when I get back home, I'll sit down and watch some TV, get settled back in, kind of, you know, get my bearings back. We came back one time, and I was sitting there on the couch trying to just relax, trying to get my head together, and the darkness that had followed us back from that home, I have never felt such darkness and such evil in my entire life. I mean, the devil literally attacked me and my wife for weeks, but by just being in the presence of that home. And I know the home was cleaned out by the time we left. I really believe the Lord showed me that the spirits of the demons are gone. It's no longer here. The house is clean for the next family. But Pastor Chambers, the darkness that we had to fight, all the years I've been a Christian, I'm 63 and I got saved when I was 17. I have never experienced such a strong presence of darkness. And I thought to myself, these people who are going to hell, if they only knew how bad it's really going to be,
yes,
they would run to the altar.
See, but they are so deceived and so caught up, and their minds have been, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that that our prayers are not in the flesh but in the spirit, that we can pull down these strongholds of hell and bind these darknesses. One scripture in Matthew, I believe it's 16, or no, I believe it's 12, no, 11, I'm sorry. It says the kingdom of heaven suffers up with violence, and the violent take it by force. If we don't wake up the church to learn how to pray again and to pray with an anointing of the Holy Spirit, it takes the power of God to break this that's happening out there. And that's why I'm sitting here and having a program like I'm having today, because I'm dealing with the devil, but God has been helping me and building me up in the Holy Ghost until I know the devil is being defeated right now. Right now he's being defeated, and people's minds are open, and what you've said only helps us. Thank you for calling, my friend.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Hey, I wish somebody else would call and let us see just how dark and hellish it is out there, and it's everywhere. People in these false churches, like Elevation here in the city of Charlotte, it's nothing but a religious show. It's nothing but showmanship. It's absolutely a game that makes the preachers rich. You study any of these old false religions, and the preachers are just absolutely wallowing in money. They are wallowing in the prestige of the crowd and the money that is being poured into them. And that's what the Bible said in Revelation 17. He says this sun-clothed woman is rich. She is so rich and so many treasures, and she's got so much money and so much wealth, and she doesn't know she's poor and naked and blind and can't even see. And that's what the Bible says. And that's what's happening out there in the religious circles. They're so blind, they cannot see. Now, somebody else call. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your testimony. I want to answer your question. Do you understand we're dealing with the rapture about to occur? And 7 years later, the Battle of Armageddon, and Jesus comes. He's got on a vesture dipped in blood. Why does Jesus have to have a vesture dipped in blood? Because only the blood of Christ can defeat the powers of Satan. Jesus comes to judge the world, and he judges them in righteousness. And his blood is the garment of righteousness. And there's no other blood in heaven. Human blood cannot exist. Because human blood dies. Human blood corrodes. It rots. It becomes stinking. It becomes a vile thing. And there's no other blood in heaven but Jesus' blood. And it can't be no other blood that he dips his vesture in but Jesus' blood. It would be impossible. No other blood could exist in heaven but his blood. His blood is divine. It's just as powerful right now as it was as he hung on the cross. And you can be saved. You can right now, wherever you're at, whatever nation, whatever language, if you can just understand enough of what I'm saying, to call on Jesus in the name of Christ and by the blood. Repent of your sins and turn to Christ. And I'm telling you, he will change you. I'm going to play just a little more of that because I want you to hear it.
Happy reunion on the streets of gold. Angels were singing that praises forever. But
Jesus
will outshine.
Why don't you want to turn to Christ right now? Why would you not want to turn to Christ? You can tell the Battle of Armageddon is right around the horizon, right down the road. At the least 7 years, at the most, or at the least, I should say 7 years. Could be 7 years plus 7 years. I don't know that. I don't know when the rapture is going to take place. The Bible said nobody knows but the Father. But I'm telling you, it's about to happen. And 7 years after that rapture, the seven-year tribulation period will come to a conclusion as Jesus judges the Antichrist. As Jesus judges the false prophet. And all you got to do is go to this Bible and you will see how definite all of this is. I mean, this is definite. I want to see if I could find something here to read to you that'll just overwhelm you. It really is. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the devil. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. When we are on this earth for the millennial, it will be a righteous world. There will be no thieves. There will be no liars. There will be no fornicators. There will be no sodomites. There will be no blasphemers. There will be nobody that serves the devil. It will be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and righteousness and purity and holiness. And the devil will be bound 1,000 years. You say, why is he loose at the end of 7 years, 1,000 years? It's because a lot of people are going to be born during that 1,000 years. And they've got to have a chance to make a choice. They got to make a choice between Satan and Jesus Christ. And that's what they do at that moment for a short period after the 1,000 years is over. Now, friend, you're talking about a day of horror. I want to show you something that many people have never seen. And you go to Isaiah, the last chapter, and I want to show you that the world will actually see that the place called the lake of fire during the 1,000-year reign. During the 1,000-year reign, the world will be able to see the lake of fire. I'm trying to find it here in the last chapter. And I will also take of them, wait a minute, make sure I find the right verses here. It's in the last chapter. What a day that's going to be. I'm not finding it real easy here because I didn't mark it and prepare it. But I can tell you what a day it's going to be. And I will also take a take of them for priests. No, that's not it. Hallelujah. Oh, here it is. Verse 24. This is Isaiah 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence unto all flesh. So that during the 1,000 years, the old place where Babylon was, where it is now, where it will be, and where it will be destroyed, will become a lake of fire. And the Bible says it's like hail comes up from beneath and joins with the fire of hail from Babylon above. And it becomes an absolute place of hail and brimstone and destruction. You go to Isaiah 66 and read that and study the truth of it. And friend, it'll make you want to get right with God. Why aren't you already right with God? And why would you wait 1 hour? Fall on your knees right where you are, and I will pray with you. I'm going to pray right now for the wicked and the unsaved, everywhere you can imagine. I'm praying for you. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I weep. I weep for these wonderful people. I weep, God, because of your faithfulness and your love and all your grace to us. Lord, we are thrilled with the mercy that we have in you. We are thrilled with all your goodness to us. And we're crying out, Father. We're crying out for men and women to come to Christ and to find the Lord and to find his joy. I want to have an altar call these last minutes. Can I help you to understand that all you've got to do is be willing to turn to Christ. All you've got to do is be willing to give your life to him and to turn yourself over to him. And then repent of your sins. I'm sorry for every wicked thing I've done. I'm sorry for my lying. I'm sorry for my fornication. I'm sorry I left my little wife for some whorish woman. I'm sorry I left my husband for some whorish person. I'm sorry. Why don't you say that before God and get on your face and repent and turn to Christ? Oh, I want to help you come to the Lord. I really do. I'm aching for you. My prayer time lately has been much squalling for the unsaved and the wicked and those that need to be saved. And I want you to be saved. Let me share a little singing while you turn to Christ.
But Jesus will outshine them all.
He's reaching to you. He's reaching right now,
The sparkling river.
Right now, he's reaching to you. Right now, he is saying, why don't you come to me? Why do you keep loving this world? Don't you understand it's on a downward spiral? And it won't be long until judgment will take over this planet. Oh, it is horrible to think about, but God has had enough. Don't you know that God is sick of your wickedness and the wickedness all around you, the wickedness of politicians and the wickedness of educators, the wickedness of the crowd? Don't you know he's tired of it? And it's time to come to him. And his great return is right around the corner. Right around the corner. And he's crying out to you. He wants you saved. I said, he wants you saved. He don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you lost forever. Turn to Christ. If you're turning to him, grab a phone. I'll be glad to talk with you. I want you to get this material. I really do. We're at the end of the road, friend. You know what I'm fixing to do when I finish this subject? I'm fixing to talk about the millennium. I want to tell you all about the millennium that's going to last 1,000 years. I want to tell you about God's people ruling the world. There'll be the presidents and the governors and the mayors. And somebody will have Charlotte. Somebody will be the mayor of Charlotte that loves Christ, that's pure, and everything will turn to righteousness. The Bible says that righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And you would choose this world? And you would choose pleasures of sin, and you would choose to do the things of wickedness, and you would choose to live like the devil in his crowd? What is wrong with you, my friend? How do you do it? You know, I've been saved 66 years. I know you say, oh man, you've been saved so long. You're just an old prude. I may be a prude, but I'm a happy one. And I want you to know I'm on my way to the city of gold. Oh, I wish I could tell you about paradise. I wish I could tell you about the city. I wish I could tell you what's going on and what it will be like when we arrive and the marriage supper begins. And Jesus is right there with us. And we look upon the grandeur of his grace and his mercy and his love. Oh, friend, it's going to be a great day. Well, let me make sure I end with you understanding about this battle of Armageddon, okay? I want you to make sure you understand it. I want it to go with you, and I don't want you to be able to forget it. And I saw heaven open. Now, this is actually what happens when the 7 years tribulation is over. Rome's been destroyed. Babylon's been destroyed. The armies of the Antichrist and the false prophet are gathered in Megiddo. No doubt the devil will be right there with them, the unholy trinity, because the devil's been cast out of heaven down to the earth, and so he's right there with them. And that unholy trinity has got an army. And the Bible says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Faithful and True. That's Jesus. Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. He comes to clean up this whole universe. He comes to make it a pure place for righteous people to enjoy. Oh, it's at hand. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. I love that vesture dipped in blood. His blood. Blood off the altar of heaven. Knowing there can be no other blood in heaven. You know, the Bible said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So there's no blood up there but his blood, his divine blood. Somebody says, are you sure his blood's divine blood? You better believe I'm sure. They beat him to a pulp at the hall of Pilate, and they couldn't kill him. They hung him on a cross and crucified him, and they couldn't kill him. He finally gave up the ghost on his own. Because he came to redeem you. You remember the first thing that Jesus said when he was born? He said, I must do the will of my Father. You remember 12 years old in the temple in Jerusalem? The first thing he said is, I must do the will of my Father. Do you know the last thing he said? It is finished. It is finished. The first thing, I must do the will of my Father. The last thing, it is finished. So he came to do the will of the Father, and it is finished. I'm here to tell you, it is finished. Now, I'm coming down to the end. I want you in church tomorrow. J.J. White will be preaching both morning and evening. We'll have lunch here on the grounds for those who are visitors, and we'll take you out to eat lunch with us. Not everybody is part of the dinner. I don't know how many, really, but there's enough to feed you, and you don't have to worry about food around this place. We'll take you out and feed you after you come as our guest, but I'm praying that many lives will get saved, either today, even right now, while we're reaching out to you and stretching ourselves to you. I want you to get right with God. I want Jesus to become the Lord of your life. And anything else you are doing without Christ is foolish. I'm telling you, it is foolish. And I want you to turn to Christ with all your heart. I want you to give your life to him. I want to see you in church in the morning, Paul Creek Church. Our sermon morning service begins at 10:50, 10 minutes till 11. I love you. you're dear to me. I said, you are dear to me. I said, you are dear to me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you.
Of gold angels were singing glad praises forever.
Oh, sing it with him, church. Hallelujah.
Will thou shine them all? Oh, yes, mansions will glisten on the hills.
Would you stand and sing it? Hallelujah. Happy, happy reunion on streets
of streets. Hallelujah. Of glory.